what does it mean to be known by God? And how does it feel to really be seen by Him? Hello, and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson, and you can find out more about my books by visiting my website at ts-thompson.com.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, your Christian coach, helping you discover what God has next for your life. Learn more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we take a deep dive into Psalm 139 to impact your Christian living. Well, today we're going to do something a little different on the show, and I'm super excited about it. You know, each week we delve deep into topics and we search God's Word for insight and for meaning, and we share this with you in the podcast in hopes that it's kind of like that iron sharpens iron, where we're helping each other grow and get closer to God. What makes today special is that we're going to really dive deep, or focus might be a better word, on Psalm 139 specifically. And we're going to do this so we can discover just what Tammy said. What does it mean to be known by God? And what does it mean to be seen by God?
Amen.
Well, obviously, we believe Scripture interprets Scripture, so you know us. We'll be mentioning other verses along the way. But it's going to be fun to dig into this psalm, and we have so much to share that this episode is going to be part one of two episodes. So you'll definitely have to mark your calendar to tune in next week to hear the rest of the story. So just to set the stage, because we have listeners from all walks of life and all different parts of their Christian journey. So I just want to set this up a little bit by giving you some background. This always helps me in my Bible study when I can kind of put things into context. So this psalm was written by David, and he wrote it, and it helps us more deeply understand that God has made us and that He knows us in an intimate way that's far beyond what we really can imagine. What I can imagine. And that God is present in all areas of our lives. So you know our heart for the show today is that we want you to draw strength from the fact that God's with you, that He sees you, that He knows you, and He loves you. And I just can't wait to see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us today. Tammy, what about you?
I know this is going to be interesting. You know, so I'm looking forward to this new format. This is something that Jo Heather said, I want to do more interaction and stuff. And so she picked out this psalm that was on her heart and stuff. And so I'm hoping those listening in today are going to enjoy this switch from our regular episode style. And I think what we are doing demonstrates what you can do at home, right? With this psalm. You can take this psalm with your family, maybe break it down, or other parts of the Bible. And we really like to know in the comments too below if you like this format, you like this interaction, or if you miss the deep dives that we do, or if you want a mix of it, just let us know. We want to be able to make sure we're bringing you something that you can actually digest each week. So my personal deep dive studies turned, I've done these myself, what we're encouraging you to do. You know, I've done this with two of my books. So first, when I studied 2 Corinthians 9:8, I studied that verse for 2 years, and I never intended to do anything else with it. It was just something that I had studied, and it ended up turning into my book, God is Able, study of 2 Corinthians 9:8, because I learned so much as I dove into it. It was like peeling an onion. The more that I looked at it, the more things that I learned. And so it deepened my faith, and I took what I had learned and put a book out. I also studied another psalm, which I'm at a psalm today. I studied another psalm, one of my favorite ones, which is Psalms 91. And that turned into another book, which came out a few months ago. My God in Whom I Trust, the theme of the book, based on that psalm, Psalms 91. So you can check out those two ones if you're curious what can happen when you really dive in. And for one, you can actually produce something if you want to write a book, or if you want to have something you can share at your local church. Maybe you have a local women's ministry you want to be able to share. You can do a Bible study at your church. There's all kinds of things you can do when you dive into the Word. So today we're going to be encouraging you to do that. And we're going to be beginning this process, which we can't wait, reading the verses and sharing our thoughts on what we discover in Psalms 139. So, but first, So hang in there first. Let's get this out of the way. We want to give you let you know how you can support our podcast so we can continue to bring you new content. So first, depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe so that you don't miss future episodes. But the most important thing that you can do is to share our podcast with others. There's so many people out in the world today that just they don't know God's word. They're discouraged, you know, they need hope. And just a simple sharing. I know when somebody had shared something with me that changed my life, my first Andrew Womack video that I ever got, somebody shared that with me and it changed my life. So when you share something, you could change somebody's life that you don't know. And so it's going to impact people. And, you know, and those people can share, and then it gets the word out about our podcast. But you can also partner through us, you know, through prayer and financial support. On our podcast, on our website, we have a form that you can fill out and become a partner with. That you can give a one-time donation to further our ministry efforts here that we're bringing out, or you can give to us, you know, continually each month. So we have all the information on there. And also on our website at loveandencouragement.com, we have early access every Wednesday to both video and audio. So if you don't want to go to our website every week, it's too much, it's no problem. We also have a form on our website, you know, on our contact page, where you can sign up so that, you know, we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday and you won't miss out. So I'm going to pass it back to Jo Heather, and she's going to start diving into the Psalm today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tammy, for sharing that. You know, I mentioned as we were kind of entering today that sometimes it helps me when I'm studying the word to just put things into context and to figure out who it's by, maybe what's happening, what's the background, this kind of thing. So I'm just going to start us out with a little bit of that to get us going. So Psalm 139 lists its own title. So in the New American Standard Bible, it starts with the words, and I'm quoting these, "For the music director, a Psalm of David." So you don't always have titles to a psalm, but that one, it starts out with, I'm calling it a title. You may call it something else. And so I was curious about that. Okay, so that was my first stop. I was like, okay, what does this mean? So I looked at another Bible version called Young's Literal Translation. This is not a translation that I read, but sometimes I look at it because it gives me some different words to help me understand maybe what the original writer was meaning. And so when I look at the Young's Literal Translation, it starts with, "To the overseer," and that's a capital O where it says overseer, a Psalm of David. So I was like, okay, who's the overseer? So I did take some time and look at some commentaries. And some commentaries indicate that the chief musician or the overseer is the Lord God. And of course, others think the opening is simply referring to a choir director. So that's when you say, okay, I hear what other people are saying, but what am I interpreting, right? So I'm observing the text, and now I'm trying to interpret it, right? So before I can apply it. So after we read this together today, and I hope you've grabbed your Bible, whether it's on your phone or a hard copy, to Psalm 139, if you can, if you're not driving right now, as you read this, you'll make your own decision. I personally lean toward the fact that David wrote this psalm specifically to God himself. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, this is to you, God, because of the way that it's written and the content. And I'm going to obviously leave it up to you to decide for yourself and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, we'll kind of leave that there. Now, I mentioned we've got all kinds of listeners to this podcast, people who study the Bible for a long time and people who are new Christians that are just getting started. So if you're not familiar, David is the person who wrote this psalm. He became the king of Israel and Judah when he was 30 years old, and he reigned until his death at the age of 70. And the Bible records this. And he's really well known for several things. He's known as the young man who killed Goliath, an enemy of Israel. That's a fun story. Not fun for Goliath, but it's great to read because David had full-out belief in God's ability. You know, all the people around him were shivering and afraid, and he's like, "Why are you afraid? You know, God is on our side." And so you read that. It's a great reminder of how big our God is and how great he is. David's also listed in the genealogy of Jesus, and you see that in Matthew 1:1. chapter one, excuse me. And he's also famous as a psalmist. And what does that word mean? It basically means a writer or a composer of sacred songs. Songs. Southern accent there in case you missed that. La 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 songs. Okay. And then you look at other places like who is David? So see, this is me getting into context. 2 Samuel 23:1 calls David the sweet psalmist of Israel. And I thought, oh, I really love that title. And you'll see that many psalms are written by David and others are written by other people. But we're focused on Psalm 139 today. So let's see what David wrote. And what we're going to do today is we're going to just go through this verse by verse. And as Tammy said, be talking about it. So we're going to start at the beginning of Psalm 139. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And so I'm going to read those to you now. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thought from far away. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. So I'm reading out of the New American Standard. It's a version that I like to study. You may be reading a different version, so the words are going to sound a little bit different. But I think most of the versions you're going to see have the word known. And the word known is repeated in this section of the psalm. And when I read that, what it assures, it just feels like an assurance to me that God has searched me and that he knows me. He knows all about me. He knows when I sit down. He knows when I get up. He understands my thoughts. He's, the word says, you know, he's acquainted with all my ways. Wow. And you know, you might think, this should make me feel uncomfortable because of all of the crazy mistakes that I make or the things that I think or say or do. And if I didn't have a saving knowledge through Jesus Christ of who God is and who I am to him, you could read this and go, oh no, you know, this is the bad thing. But actually for me, this brings an incredible amount of comfort. So, because it's amazing to realize that God knows me more intimately than anyone. God knows me better than Tammy knows me. God knows me better than I am married. My husband knows me. God knows me better than my parents. I'm blessed. My parents are still living. Knows me better than them. Better than my kids. You know, it's like, who knows you best? And he knows all the good stuff, all the bad stuff, and all the in-betweens. And no matter what, he still loves me. And so that's what I get really excited about when I read these. And so, Tammy, what are you thinking as we kind of look at those first three verses?
Wow. It's so emotional. You think about how you're talking about the good and the bad. And I think about when I got saved and how he loved me, even in my pit. He loved me in my pit. He knew me. You know, and I like the word known, right? Because it almost seems like not just know, it seems like it's a past tense thing. Like he's always known us. He writes books about us, right?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that's what comes to my mind when you're talking. But in verse one, you know, it says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. Think about that. God made an effort to search you. You know, it reminds me of this scripture. We're talking about scriptures, other scriptures that support it. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So God wants to know us, right? And he wants us to know him the same way by searching him. Have you thought about that? Because remember, it's a relationship with God. We're talking, you know, about, you know, different sides of it. So sometimes we'll be talking more about our relationship with God, and this is about how we perceive God's relationship with us. It's like a love song, you know, it's like a love song that goes back, beautiful. You know. And then in verse 2, it says, you understand my thought from far away. So God doesn't just read our minds and understand what we are thinking. So think about this, stay with me. But he understands why we think what we do, right? And I have experiences for myself. So God has brought my thoughts to my attention, maybe you know what I'm talking about here, and asked me why I see things that way. Why am I thinking about stuff? And he told me to change the way I'm thinking. You know, he even did this one in the Bible with people. Why are you thinking those things? You know, to bring those thoughts to our attention. He knows why we're thinking them based on our worries or concerns or our perception. You know, he's told me in the past to show people more grace because he knows what I'm thinking. Don't think of things. See the best in people, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't assume the worst. So he does that. He searches us and knows and understands why we think the things. And he wants to change our heart. He doesn't want us to think that way. So I'll give you another example here. For example, in 2019, God asked me, after searching me and understanding my thoughts, "Tammy, why can't you believe me for more than just getting by every month? You know, I want to be known to you as the God of more than enough." And we talked about that before, and there's a lot more coming with that. But that's just one thing. If he wanted me to shift my focus, he's searching me, and he wants me to be able to perceive him in another way. So God also wants to encourage us, right, in the way that we think. I'm going to pass it back to Joe Heather.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, just to kind of meditate on that, encourage us in the way that we think. And I think it's profound what you just said about the, he knows why we think what we think.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to, we've talked about the desires of the heart before. Mm-hmm. I mean, God knows our heart, you know, that inner core part of us. And that's why, you know, for those of you who might, this is just coming up for me, for those of you who might be sitting out there or feeling very alone right now, mm-hmm. and feeling like no one understands, let today these words from Scripture comfort you, that God does know what you're going through. He does know what you're thinking and why you're thinking it and what you've been through, and he's right there with you. So just let that, we're here to showcase God's love, to shine the light on it, and his, and, you know, and let it be an encouragement to you. So just let that kind of rest on you now. Okay, so we're going to keep going. We're going to look at just verse 4 right now. So it says, "Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all." Well, I got to tell you a funny story about this. So I had a chance to teach about this psalm in my son's elementary school class at church. I don't know if a month or two ago, how long it was. And it was funny, when we got to this verse, verse 4, it really blew them away. You should have seen them. They all went, "Oh," when I read that verse. I mean, they really did. I mean, it was just, and this is like 16 to 20 kids. They're like, "Whoa, he knows what's going to be on my tongue," you know. And I think we could all, you know, feel uncomfortable, just like they were feeling uncomfortable. And one little girl said, "Is that true? Does he really know what I'm going to say before I say it?" And I was like, "Yeah, this is what the word says. He does know what you're going to say before you say it." And I'm an extrovert, which means I think, some people would say you speak before you think, but I mean, I do think out loud a lot. So, you know, this could be an area that would cause me to stumble, and that to cause me to fall into worry. And maybe it is for you to realize that the careless words that just flow off my tongue, that God knows them before I speak them. But God doesn't intend for me to, we're in the age of grace. So I am choosing not to focus on this as a worry or a fear. I'm just meditating on the fact that God loves me despite the things that I say, you know, because again, I'm walking forward, living into the grace that I've received, and dwelling, we've said this scripture a lot recently, on 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It doesn't mean that I've been made perfect. I'm not in heaven yet, but I get to meditate on that and say, God sees me, he knows me, and he loves me. And so this is really awe-inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Tammy?
Oh my goodness, there's so much here today. You know, because I'm going to repeat which this verse and stuff, which you have, "Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all." So I just think this is great because the Holy Spirit, what came to my mind and stuff, the Holy Spirit has forewarning to move quickly to act, and that he can cause you to pause. You know, I have experienced this sudden discernment, and maybe you have too listening in and didn't know what that was, you know, as I was forming my words, you know, so we think what's, you know, in our hearts, and then what's in our heart proceeds out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, God knows our hearts, and he also knows, you know, why we think what we do, why we think that. So let me just read for you from Luke chapter 6, verse 45. This is the NIV version. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Let's just think on that for a minute. You know, so we should try to speak in love towards one another and lift each other up. We should guard our words. We should guard our words. By doing so, we will examine our hearts and cleanse anything in it that will not produce good fruit. So Psalms 141:3, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Before I pass it back to Johanna, I just want to think about these things, you know. But, you know, we don't want to say hurtful things to people. We want to be able to catch those thoughts before, you know, sometimes we think out loud before we, because sometimes you can't take back certain things. I've had some very hurtful things say to me growing up and stuff, and especially to children. Children have a hard time letting go of some of those things. So we really want to guard it. We want to edify the church. We want to build each other up with our words and our actions, right? Yes. So we talk about people producing fruit, you know, by, because people will not just look at your words, but they will look at, are you living what you're speaking? There's a lot here. There's a lot here in the Bible about our words and stuff. And God knows. But he knows what's about to come out. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, too, to kind of like, whoop, you know? You know, to not, you know, maybe there's a time that we should pause and not say something. Or we have it a lot here in the show, Joe Heather, right? Where we have a script we follow, and we you know, just to kind of guide us through. But all of a sudden, we'll get a yearning from the Holy Spirit. And out comes, comes something that we didn't even perceive the thought before it came out of our mouth. It just came out. And that was the Holy Spirit saying, I got something to say, and I'm using your mouth to do it. Because there's somebody who needs to hear it. Amen. I'm going to give it to you, Joe Heather.
Amen. I mean, I think what's sparking for me as you say that is I'm thinking of my mother, and when she was a teenager, they were doing a youth group thing, and the youth group, you guys have probably heard an example like this, but the youth group leader had them squeeze out toothpaste from a tube, and then the youth group leader said, all right, now put it back in. And I think we all know you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube once it's out. And that's what she was using to illustrate the power of our words. As Tammy said, there's a lot of scriptures. You could do a word study on this yourself if this is really pinging for you something. And I do want to say, yes, the Holy Spirit is there to lead you. And I praise God. He has, as the years have passed, has taught me more and more of the pause of of hold on, Joe Heather, you know, the careless words, and I praise the Lord that he's loved me enough to turn me on that potter's wheel and to shape me and to say, let's listen, or if you know, listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, slow down enough to think before you speak. And to pray, you know, maybe you're praying and you're saying, Lord, what should I say here? Or you're in a tough situation with the kids one day and they're on your last nerve and you say, I better not say what I'm thinking. maybe that's a tool you need to tuck in your pocket, right? I know I've had to do that. I'm going to stop speaking now, you know, because, you know, it's not going in a good way. So, yes. Definitely, Lord, I pray that you keep watch over the door of my lips. I think that's an awesome, awesome verse to meditate on. Okay, I'm going to read us verse 5 and 6 now. So join with me. 5, you have encircled me behind and in front and placed your hand upon me. such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot comprehend it. And wow, I just love these verses. I mean, sometimes I had to remind myself that God is with me through all that I go through. And that He's not way ahead of me, and He's not way behind me. But this word tells me He's encircled me, right? Mm. So He's like that hedge of protection all around me. So it makes me think of Psalm 28:7, and I want to share that with you. It says, let me read it to you. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Mm. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. Well, that's a pretty cool, like, oh yeah, my heart's rejoicing over the fact that God is with me. And you know, we were talking about David as we kind of launched into here. There's it's called David's Psalm of Deliverance. It's talked about in 2 Samuel 22, and it talks about how God encircled him with strength for the battle. And so if God encircled David, I know He encircles me too. So the second thing that I saw as, you know, I was looking at these verses, I saw that God places His hand on me. And for me, what a comfort to have His touch. You know, He doesn't consider me unclean and unworthy of touching. And that's because Christ has paid for my sins, made a way for me to have a right relationship with Daddy God, right? It's because of Christ and my acceptance of His sacrifice that has made it, you know, God can just comfort me. And I love that. I love thinking of His hand on my shoulder. It brings me a lot of peace. I think you can hear it in my voice. It just brings me a lot of peace. So then when, if I look at verse 6, you know, all this is too amazing for us to really understand it fully, but I love trying to picture it, and I love trying to, like, almost feel it in my body. But, Tammy, what are you thinking about 5 and 6?
Wow. Well, as you were talking, I kept thinking about Jesus wasn't afraid to lay hands on the lepers, you know. Amen. He wasn't afraid. People who were thinking they were too unclean, but they weren't too unclean for Jesus. You know, He didn't see him that way. And so if you feel like you're not worthy, you know, that think that even God would, like she was saying, you know, righteous enough or pure or whatever, it's His love. Yeah. You know, He created you. You're His child, you know, and He wants to bring you back home like the prodigal son if you're not saved, you know. And when you are saved, He wants to let you know He's not leaving you.
Amen. You know? Amen. Praise the Lord.
It reminds me of, I know I've shared this on previous podcasts before, where I had an experience with the Lord, feeling His presence when I was at Walking Jim Bob. That was brought back to my remembrance about how I kind of felt like I wasn't alone. And there was this presence all around me. It was in everything. It was around me, and it was through me. It was in me. And it was the Lord. It was His love, the power of the Lord. I felt it everywhere. You know, it's a kind of reminder, brought my, that picture here that, yeah, I've had a moment. I mean, what was that? Like, not even a minute or two, but it's enough to last for a lifetime in my memory that, yeah, He is with me. He walks with me every morning. You know, He said He'd never leave me no matter what. And there's been a lot of no matter what's in my life, you know, that He has, He's that guy, I'm with you. So I'm going to go back and look at these two verses that, you know, she was talking about, that, you know, you have encircled me behind and in front and placed your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. You might think it's like the good news. It's too good to be true, but it's too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot comprehend it. But that's what we're here for, to help you comprehend it, right? So what came to my mind were these two verses. I'm going to read them to you. The first one is Isaiah 45:2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut and sunder the bars of iron. Isn't that powerful?
That is.
Another one. Psalms 23:6. This is from the King James Version. Surely, I love this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I'm writing a book, just so you know, on Psalms 23 that I'm hoping comes out this year. I spent a lot of time focusing on this, you know, goodness and mercy shall follow me. What does that mean? It means you have to have it to leave it behind you. These are the things you leave behind by all the good deeds you do in your life. And it comes from the Lord, you know. So follow me. And the Lord, I would dwell with the Lord forever. Forever. And now. We are to dwell with the Lord now, right? It's not something when you get to heaven, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. Here, now, in our lives. Mm-hmm. So our lives reflect the power of God around us. He is our provider in all things, you know, and prepares things before us. He's out there. You might not think you're praying for something and you're thinking, when's it going to happen? God is at work. You can't see it yet. He is working things out. He is putting things in place. He's talking to the right people. He's putting things on their heart. He's moving people out of the way. He's doing a lot of work that you just can't see. In hindsight, you'll see it. Oh, God was there working the whole time. You know, so he does. He goes before you. That's what this means. He goes before you, right? Our lives are affected by what we leave behind. What we leave behind is the evidence. It's the evidence. It's our testimony of the goodness and the mercy from the Lord. I know. I'm getting excited, Heather.
It is exciting. I love it. I love it.
It is exciting. Yes. As I think about that, visualize, think, what does that mean that God goes before me, encircles me, and he's behind me? He's all around you, and he's within you. Mm-hmm. You're encompassed. I get a pool of living water. Think about it that way.
Amen.
You know, when you were kids, did you ever just go down to the bottom and hold your breath underwater and look up at the beautiful sky and the water's mm-hmm. all around you? Mm-hmm. It's like that, just being immersed in the Lord. So before I pass back to Jo Heather, I just want to pause and let you know, speaking of Jo Heather, that Love and Encouragement to Live By is sponsored today by our very own Christian coach, Jo Heather Dotson. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what if? I'm sure you have. We ask that question a lot. So as a credentialed coach, Jo Heather provides the space for you to discover the answers you need for your work and life. Partnering with her through prayer-filled, structured conversations, you will create action plans aimed at fulfilling your God-given purpose and calling. We are called for something. So you can contact her for a no-cost connect call to explore how coaching will change your business and life. It's just a simple call. And I encourage you to look for her weekly Points to Ponder videos on your whatever your favorite social media platform is. Maybe it's Facebook, YouTube. They're there every Tuesday. You'll get a quick 3-minute message on how you can improve your Christian walk and quality of life. So you can find out more about Jo Heather and her coaching services by visiting her website at yourchristiancoach.net. That's yourchristiancoach.net. Plus, if you want to be a sponsor, you know, on one of our future episodes, you know, or if you want to feature your favorite ministry effort, maybe your church is getting ready to put something on, you want to get the word out, you can contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Tammy. All right. So we're going to look at a pretty big chunk next. And the reason that we're chunking this together is because we feel like these verses go together. So I want us to look at these as a group, and it's going to be verses 7 through 12. And so here it goes. I'm just going to read them to you first, and then we'll talk about them. So 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. And so, you know, when I read this section, it just confirms for me what we saw back in verse 2. No matter where you go, God is there. And so as I looked at this more deeply in my study time, I realized that verses 8 through 12 really illustrate this truth by using what I saw, and you may see it differently, as up and down imagery, as well as light and dark contrasts. And so it was just sort of indicating, you know, this space to me, and realizing that nothing, not the highest heights or the deepest depths or the brightest places or even the darkest places, because Tammy was talking about being in a pit earlier, even the dark places can't hinder the Lord from being with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was praying about this, it was interesting. God brought to my mind Jonah. Mm-hmm. And you can read about Jonah in the Old Testament. And God asked Jonah to go to the Assyrian city of Nineveh. And he said, I want you to go to prophesy to those people because they're excessively wicked. And I, God, want to give them a chance to repent and turn back from their wicked ways. But guess what? Jonah did not want to go because, you know what? He couldn't stand the thought that those wicked enemies of Israel, they were going to be given a chance to be saved. And he was like, oh, God, they're just terrible. I'm not doing that. And so he fled. He ran the opposite direction. And so Jonah mistakenly thought he could hide from God or flee from God. But when you read this, if you're not familiar with it, if you're new to reading the Bible, you've got to check it out. Look for Jonah. And guess where God was? He was even with Jonah the whole time when he was on a ship in a storm. He was with Jonah in the belly of a big fish that swallowed him. You know, so if you ever feel that God can't find you because you've fallen into a dark place, a pit, fallen too far from him, just read Jonah. Because I promise as you read that, you'll be encouraged to know that God is with you no matter where you go.
Amen. Yeah, you definitely, that's the same thought that came to my mind. You can't hide from God. Mm-hmm. He sees it all. He can see through, you know, yes. You're hiding in a cliff. He can see through rock. He can see through everything, you know? Yeah, that's a powerful, you can't run from God, but you should be running to God. You know, amen. I'm going to read to you from a verse, Psalms 90, verse 17, NIV. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So in verse 10, even there your hand will lead me. That's where this was pulling from. Even there your hand will lead you. And your right hand will take hold of me. Now, this really jumped out to me. You know, I did a study a while back on the right hand of God, you know, because it talks about that, the importance of the right hand of God. It's the righteous right hand. And who sits at the righteous right hand of God? Jesus! Jesus. Is at the righteous right hand of God. I'm going to read you a few verses here to kind of get you the power of this. Yeah. So Hebrews 12, chapter 2, this is King James Version. Looking unto Jesus. I love this verse. Jared probably knows this verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's right. Just love that. Isaiah 41, verse 10. This is the NIV version. So, and I love this one too. So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. Think about that. Mm-hmm. I love how God places such value on us to use the same righteous right hand that Jesus sits at the side of to describe us, to take hold of us. He's going to take hold of us in that hand. You know, think about being held in the righteous right hand of God. When you think your enemies are coming after you or things are too, he wants to hold you. Remember, he can span the universe in his hands. Think about how big that hand is. And you can be in that. And what happens when something's in your hand? I'm going to place my lip balm in my hand. When you are in his hand and he closes it in, nothing is going to pull you out of his grasp. Do you see that? I can't pull the fingers off. He's got you. Held tight. It's a great imagery.
Yes, it is.
So we're getting ready to close here before we jump into part two.
Yes.
Yep, we got more to come. So I hope our breakdown of this psalm today really encourage you to do your own deep dive. It doesn't have to be this psalm. You can pick anything in the Bible that you're led to. Just pick something up, something that you're excited about. Maybe it's Jonah. Maybe it's David. Yeah. Maybe you want to, you know, learn how, or Esther. You know, or, you know, Ruth, there are so many things that you could just pick something up. And there's lots of Psalms. There's a whole bunch. You know, you can go in and do your own deep dive. But get excited over it. Get excited over the Word of God and what God plans. When you sit down with the Word, you open up your Bible, you should be excited saying, God, what are you going to show me today? And His amazing Word and reveal, let that Holy Spirit come alive when you read His Word.
Amen. Amen. Yes. I mean, we are praying that you ask God to search your heart and mind, mm-hmm. because he's provided the way of everlasting life through his son, Jesus Christ. But he doesn't intend for you to stay exactly as you are on the day of your salvation. He knows you, he sees you, and he loves you enough to help you grow each and every day if you let him. And as Tammy said, pick a book in the Bible to deep dive. That's going to help you grow in amazing ways. And if you're not feeling led to a book but to a word right now, you know, we do a lot of that. We'll meditate on the word hope or grace or different things. Maybe the word heart is speaking to you right now. Whatever. You spend time in the word, God is going to help you grow. Mm-hmm. And so we love to leave you a question to meditate on. And the question that came up for me was, how can being known by God, seen by him, and loved by him change your life? Mm. I mean, really living into that. God knows me, he sees me, and he loves me. It's changing my life to meditate on that, and I hope it'll do the same for you. So don't forget to tune in next week to hear about the rest of Psalm 139. We're going to cover verses 13 through 24 if you want to read ahead, and you'll get to hear all about how God created you and how the thoughts that he has for you are more numerous than the grains of sand on the seashore. And I just love that. I can't wait to talk about that. So thank you for taking time to join us today. Just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. If you want to be a sponsor, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.